We really do have great services here at First Baptist Church, don't we? I'm glad that you're here today. And why don't you work on somebody that's not in church, just one person, and get them here in the next couple of Sundays, perhaps. And then just think about that. We'd double our attendance here this morning. Because there are people that need to hear about Jesus, don't they? They need to know that Jesus is our living hope, because many people today live with a sense of hopelessness and despair about the future, wondering how things will ever get better. That should not be true, however, for us, right? That should not be true for Christians who follow Jesus, who is our living hope. We shouldn't let the ups and downs of the world dictate whether we live in a state of hope or a state of despair. Jesus is with us all of the time. Amen? He's with us all of the time, and he's coming back physically one day to establish his rule of righteousness in this world. It's not over, right? It's not over. Peter wrote about this living hope that we're looking at this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1. He wrote about this hope to believers who were going through a tremendous time of testing in the world. His readers were going through persecution from Rome and were suffering immeasurably. Peter himself would soon face persecution, and he would even be killed for his faith. He would be crucified like Christ, except when the story is told that when Peter was crucified, he didn't want to be hung like Jesus, so he was crucified inverted or upside down, because he did not want to be crucified like his Savior. But Peter, even through all of that, was able to pen the words of Scripture that we have this morning that tell us about a hope that is alive in Christ. There's many people today, and I'll dare say there's many people in the church today, that go through suffering of one sort or the other, and they live in a state of despair or a state of hopelessness. Their families are falling apart, their finances are in shambles, their lives seem to be a disaster. But I want to remind you this morning, all of those who trust Jesus Christ as Savior, that you have a great hope. Amen? A great hope, and His name is Jesus. The first thing I want us to see this morning, that our living hope is in the person of Christ. Beginning there in chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have hope because Christ conquered death and the grave. I don't ever get tired of hearing about that, because that is just absolutely wonderful. Jesus conquered the grave and conquered death. If Christ has overcome that last enemy, death, then there is surely no situation that we face that we can't overcome through Him. Amen? Peter himself, as I said, was no stranger to failure, even denying once that he knew Jesus, because he was afraid that he might be persecuted. Then when Jesus was crucified, Peter's world fell apart. I bet you if you could have looked inside Peter's heart during that time, but that time period between Jesus' death and resurrection, if you could have saw inside of Peter's heart, you would have saw a man in great despair. Now, this was a man who loved Jesus and followed Jesus, and then he made a mistake of denying Jesus when he was under that threat of persecution. And you remember what Jesus did? Jesus heard him Remember what he said to Peter? He said, before the rooster crows or the cock crows three times, you will have denied me. And that prophecy came true. That came true. And when Peter had denied him the third time, Jesus was right there and looked around and saw Peter. You remember what Peter did then? He says he wept bitterly because he realized the grave mistake that he had made of denying his Savior. And so I bet if you could have looked in his heart, you would have seen a man of great despair. But on that Sunday morning, as they say, on that Sunday morning, when he and John ran to the tomb and they saw that the tomb was empty, it began to sink in that Jesus was not dead. He is alive, right? So when Peter writes to those early Christians who were suffering to their about their faith or for their faith, his message to them and to us is that you have a living hope based on what Jesus Christ did when he walked out of the grave. That's a good Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday message there, isn't it? But it's the same message all the time. We have a living hope because Jesus walked out of the grave. And Peter could tell them, there is hope. I know there's hope because I saw the empty tomb. Jesus defeated death, and you and I will defeat that enemy as well, no matter what happens to us throughout this life. If you're looking for hope this morning, you need to look no further than the resurrected Christ. If we look to this world for hope, then we're not going to find any. If we look to government leaders, then we're not going to find hope. If we depend on family and friends for all of our hope, then we're going to be disappointed because they're human beings just like we are, right? If we depend on money for our hope, we'll be disillusioned. The world only has limited hope to offer, hope that ends with a grave. Why in the world do we follow along with the world so often then, is my question. You ever wonder that? Why do Christians chase after the world when the world has no hope? Why do we chase after the world and we're even disillusioned and disappointed and tripped up so many times by the world, and we keep chasing after that when there's no hope? Our hope is in Christ this morning. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you profess Christ as Savior, He is your living hope. He's my hope. He's your hope. Their hope is found nowhere else than Him. Second thing here. Our hope is eternal. Christian hope isn't just pie in the sky hope, is it? It's not hope so hope. It's not, well, I hope it's not going to rain this afternoon because I got such and so to do. It's not that kind of hope. Or I hope this or I hope that. We say hopes about stuff all the time, don't we? It's not hope. And the hope that we're speaking of this morning in Christ, it's not hope just for the hereafter. It is hope for the here and now and the hereafter. It's hope for today. It's lasting hope. It's hope that gives us peace every day. It's hope that keeps us going through difficult times because of what we know is going to happen in the future, because followers of Christ have been, those who have been born again in Jesus, we've been given the idea or the promise of what is in the end. And we know something about the future, don't we? And so we can have hope for the here and now because we know where our hope lies in the future. One day we're going to meet Jesus. We're going to meet Him personally. and live with Him forever. That's why our hope is an eternal hope that Peter speaks of in this passage. Another thing is that our living hope is sure. And I'll read there in verse 4. It says, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Talking about this hope. Verse 5 says, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The inheritance, of course, is eternal life, right? It is something that is imperishable. Yesterday, I was down at my daughter's house helping her move some things, and there was still a pumpkin sitting on the front porch. And so I came out on the front porch. We were kind of throwing some things away, so I grabbed that pumpkin, and it was rotten. You know what happens when you grab hold of a rotten pumpkin? It goes squish in your hands, and it stinks. You know why pumpkins get that way? Because they're perishable. They're perishable. How many other things in this life are perishable, right? What happens when the power goes out for an extended period of time? What happens to the stuff in your freezer? See, that happened to them too. They had a deep freeze out in the garage, and for some odd reason, it had gotten unplugged, and it was full of meat. Oh, yeah, you know how gross that smells. Well, why is that? It's because meat is perishable, right? And it stinks, doesn't it? I told her husband, I said, man, don't even try to salvage that freezer. Put the whole thing on the trailer and take it to the dump, right? Freezer and all. I don't want a freezer that's had nasty, stinking meat in it. Because meat's perishable, right? Our bodies are also perishable, aren't they? You ever notice that? You know, you look around at each other, we're perishable, aren't we? But we have a soul that's not perishable, is it? And the promise that Jesus has made, that living hope, is not perishable. It lasts forever. It's undefiled. It will never fade away. That sounds pretty good to me, doesn't it, you? That sounds good. And the Bible says that it is reserved in heaven for us that know Christ. Amen? A place where the pumpkins never rot. A place where, when, as the old song says, well, we'll never grow old. Man, that's exciting this morning. You ought to jump up. If we were Pentecostal people, we'd be in the aisles right now, wouldn't we? Running around the room, jumping pews, swinging off that chandelier up there. But we're more reserved Baptist folks. But we're busting on the inside, aren't we? We're just about to bust. I want to call your attention to the hope that this hope that is higher and surer, that's hard to say, than any hope on this earth. It is a living hope that we have in Christ. It's not dependent on what's reported on TV. It's not dependent on what a man says. It's not dependent on my circumstances or my health or the fact that my health insurance is more expensive next year and it covers less, right? It's not dependent on that. It's not dependent on who wins and who loses, right? Because Christ has already won it all. It is a source of true hope that this world does not have. And so if you're saved and you're following Jesus today, That hope is your hope, right? That living hope that we're speaking about, that Peter is teaching us about, that hope is your hope. That hope is my hope. And then verse 5 told us that this hope is protected for us by the power of God and our faith. Now, how much better does it get than that? Although we might have trials and troubles now, we greatly rejoice because we have hope in Christ. Do you need to hear that this morning? I do. I need to hear that often, as a matter of fact. Call your attention to verse 6. The rest of these verses we'll go through. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Your trials are temporary. I tell you what, I feel like I've gone through some trials lately. Have you? I've gone through a few trials lately. And sometimes those trials, they seem like they're going to last a long time. And with every day you think, when is this going to be over? I'm ready for it to get over with. But then I found out when I get past that my trial's temporary. And even though we're distressed with trials temporarily, we have a sure hope that is permanent. Because the things of Christ are permanent. That's what we need to be chasing after this morning, right? It's permanent things. Trials put your faith to the test. But the scripture here says that genuine faith is more precious than gold. Your faith is more precious than anything you can imagine. Genuine faith is proved by your worship of the one your faith is in. So as we gather here corporately and we sing songs and praise the Lord and worship the Lord this morning, that our faith, the faith that we say that we have, is proved by our worship in the one that we say that we have faith in. Another thing is genuine faith keeps your eyes on Jesus no matter what. If we really have faith, then we're going to just pay attention to Jesus. See, here's the thing. Things can get rock and rolling around us, but we just need to lock in on Jesus, don't we? We just need to lock in. Lock and load. We're already loaded. We loaded ourselves with faith. Now let's lock our eyes on Jesus, right? Genuine faith in Christ brings joy to your life, even in the middle of trials. Well, you're going through all those things, Melon, and how can you still be happy, brother? How can you still have a smile on your face and tell me every time I ask you how things are going? Melon always says, man, they're going great. But I don't really know. But he has, see, it's a choice, isn't it, brother? I choose my joy because I love Jesus and my faith is in Christ. I choose to be joyful right in the middle of my trial or whatever is going on. Genuine faith in Christ and Christ alone results in the salvation of your soul. That's where it's at, isn't it? faith in Christ and Him alone. And so I want to ask you today, is your faith genuine? Will you trust Jesus today as your Savior? Say, well, I've already done that. Well, then where's your faith? Where's your faith at? You say you trust Jesus, where's your faith? Will you rely on Him as your living hope? Will you stop looking at your circumstances and start locking eyes on Jesus? Because He's our hope, right? He's everything to us. He should be. He's everything. He's more important than anything to us. The things of God and the things of the church, that's very important to us. Very much so. Will you do that? Will you trust Jesus as not only your Savior, but will you trust Him as your hope? Will you renew your faith in Him today? Quit messing around, right? Let's pray. Lord, we come to You, Lord, with sometimes weak faith. So I pray that You'd speak to our hearts today. Right now, would You speak to someone in this room? Tap them on the shoulder. Let them know that You still love them. You're still Jesus. You're still waiting for them to make a decision for You, to jump on board with You totally and put faith fresh and anew in You today. In Jesus' name, amen.